Good morning and thank you for joining us. The time is now 10 o'clock and this is Observant Radio News. I'm Corrine with Courtney and Brandy. In the weather, we're going to see a high of 12 degrees today and it's raining outside our East York studios. Now here are the headlines. Toronto police make 125 arrests in Scarborough drug bust. A domestic dispute turns deadly. And G20 leaders open up their wallets yesterday. Now to our top story. Toronto police make 125 arrests in Scarborough drug bust. After a series of pre-dawn raids on Wednesday, the Toronto police brought down two Scarborough street gangs for illegal possession of drugs, guns, and cash. Both members of the MNE and 400 crew were arrested in a bust consisting of over 1,000 officers. 34 handguns, 4 rifles, and $1.9 million worth of cocaine were just a few of the items seized. A domestic dispute turns deadly. A 38-year-old man was shot and killed by Toronto police after fatally stabbing his wife and stabbing an officer in the Kennedy and Eglinton area. A domestic disturbance 911 call was made out to the apartment early yesterday morning. The couple leaves behind 4 children. In international news, G20 leaders open up their wallets yesterday. In the wake of the G20 summit hosted in England, leaders have agreed on $1 trillion in aid to help boost the world economy. Prime Minister Stephen Harper and U.S. President Barack Obama called the meeting a success. Obama even called it a turning point in the pursuit of global economic recovery. Sources have told the Canadian press that Canada will be contributing $10 billion to the International Monetary Fund to help developing countries. Another $200 million will go towards the effort to stimulate the trade finance market. In nearby, violent protests shook London in attempts to disrupt the summit. CTV News reported anarchists, anti-capitalists, and environmentalists were among 4,000 people who rioted outside the city's central banks. Al Jazeera's English language television network editor Tony Berman spoke at the University of Toronto Innes College last night. Berman, formerly of the CBC, promoted his channel's consideration by the CRTC for inclusion of the Canadian airwaves. Sean Sillers has this report.
Well, I mean, I think Al Jazeera is obviously an international news channel, so it's a bigger platform, a bigger playing field, so to speak. I think a lot of the public broadcast values that are evident at CBC are at play at Al Jazeera as well. You know, so in that way, I find the transition a very congenial one.
That was Al Jazeera's English's managing director, Tony Berman, speaking about his intention to bring his network to Canadian TV. Abby Lewis has left Canada to join Berman at Al Jazeera English. He explains his work to the emerging network.
Giving a voice to the voiceless there's a developing world within all developed countries, so-called developed countries. There is a third world within every first world, and you don't have to go very far from anywhere to find it. Yeah. So to find the people who are actually on the receiving end of the policies, document the way policies forged in Washington or Ottawa actually impact people's lives and how they struggle to survive is a lens that you can bring within a North American context. That is very much what Al Jazeera is trying to do globally.
The CRTC is currently deciding whether to allow Al Jazeera English onto Canadian airwaves. Sean Sillers, Observer Radio, Toronto.
And that's the latest news. Now here's Brandy with sports.
Thanks, Corrine, and hello, everyone. Have the Maple Leafs snagged new talent? It's unconfirmed, but early morning reports say that the Leafs have won the race to sign Denver University forward Tyler Bozak. The Toronto Star says talks went late into the night between Bozak and various clubs, including the Ottawa Senators and the Colorado Avalanches. Also in Leaf news, Christian Hansen makes his debut tonight. The forward says he's ecstatic to be getting on the ice. Leaf Nation can watch all the excitement tonight at 7:30. The Leafs play the Philadelphia Flyers in Philadelphia. Tensions run high in the dugout as Cito Gaston speaks out. A new book about Roger Clemens says the star pitcher had a hand in the Jays firing Gaston in 1997. Gaston denies these claims, but does say Clemens is a Hall of Fame jerk. The Raptors are pulling out all the stops to keep their winning streak going. Raptors guard Quincy Dubé is set to sign another 10-day contract today. Could this have anything to do with the Raps' recent wins? We'll find out when the Raps take on the New York Knicks tomorrow afternoon in New York at 1 o'clock. It was the last time they would see the floor at Centennial's Dell Gym. But that milestone didn't help the Colts men's basketball team last night. And that's despite a huge performance by their star point guard. With the story, here's Tristan Carter.
Centennial Colts men's basketball team lost to the Fleming Knights 91-89. But Colts point guard Roderick Robinson scored a game-high 37. Robinson barely missed the last second shot that would have won the game. The Knights hit a pair of free throws with Hayden Ford to put them up by two. Fleming got to the line after a controversial foul call. Centennial coach Ro Russell had some criticism of the way the game was called.
Basically, the referees took the game out of our hands. It's hard to say that. And if I get fined for it, I don't care. You know, we busted our butt off the whole game. Everybody sucked it up. We lost a couple guys on eligibility, and they beat us by a lot up in their place, and we came, we were ready for them, we prepared for them, and we're right down to the last second, and the referee had to take the game into his own hand rather than let us play the game out like it's supposed to be played.
Russell also thought his team would have done better if it was at full strength. Colts starter Marlon McLean struggled with foul trouble the whole game. They've also lost a number of players, but not because of injuries. Russell says he kicked one player off the team after the last game.
We warned him that he's under zero tolerance coming into the last game that he played. And he was verbally abusing players and being very obnoxious in the game. And so we decided that it was enough. We had to, you know, take him away from the team so we could have a better chemistry for the team.
The season has been hard on the Colts. They stand at 5-3 right now as they play the final game ever at the Dell Gym. It's being closed and the college is building a new one next year. Tristan Carter, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
And that's all from the world of sports. Stay with us after the break when Courtney Roberts will have all the buzz in entertainment.
Every time my relatives visit, they eat me out of our home. There is my Uncle Louis. Whenever we have a cookout, he has 2 double cheeseburgers, 3 helpings of baked beans, half a dozen hot dogs, and a diet soda. It is ridiculous. Oh, and talk about like father like son. You should see Cousin Freddy. Every time I turn around, he's got his face in the fridge. This guy doesn't just snack between meals. He snacks between the salad and the entry. I'm sure glad I'm shopping at Winn-Dixie because they have low prices on everything in the store. Meat, produce, baked beans, everything. Hey, it is important for me to save money on groceries, especially when my Aunt Sophie's idea of a light lunch is anything she can pick up with a fork. So, from the bottom of my pocket, book Winn-Dixie. I thank you.
Thanks, Brandy. In entertainment news, ER fans will be sad today. After 15 years on air, ER ended last night with a 2-hour series finale. The medical drama once commanded over 32 million viewers. ER also received a record-breaking 122 Emmy nominations and is known for jump-starting George Clooney's acting career. The finale was much like the past 15 seasons, with lots of gushing blood and heart-wrenching scenarios within the first few minutes. Gilmore Girls star Alexis Bledel also made an appearance as a medical student. The president's daughters aren't the luckiest girls in the world after all. Even Sasha and Malia will have to wait until the Hannah Montana movie hits the big screen before they see it. The girls asked for a private screening of Hannah Montana, the movie. However, the film star Miley Cyrus declined. Cyrus says the girls will have to wait until April 10th, just like everyone else, regardless of the fact that they're the president's daughters. You go, Miley. Project Runway Canada judges sent Vancouver designer Genevieve packing this week. The designers had one of their toughest challenges yet. They had to make a well-tailored suit along with matching lingerie. Although the judges loved Genevieve's lingerie, they hated the construction and fabric of her suit, which cost her the competition. Catch Project Runway Canada on Tuesdays at 10 on Global. A public discussion on the topic of image manipulation in advertising has led some startling insights into the advertising industry in Canada. A recent survey shows Canadians have an overwhelming distaste for manipulated images in advertising, but very few complain to Advertising Standards Canada or the ASC on the subject, even though this is a crucial step of industry control. Andrew Hood has this report.
Last fall, we were able to include a question about photo retouching in advertising in a national poll.
That was Nicole Cohen, a director of community activist group Media Action. The group published the results of a study on image manipulation in advertising just in time for a public discussion on Thursday. The study shows that about 70% of Canadians consider digital enhancement unacceptable in beauty product advertising. And yet many Canadians don't realize they have to complain about advertisements that break the rules. Otherwise, the ads won't be stopped or even noticed by ASC. Linda Nagel of ASC explains.
Because
in order to shift the code into action in terms of portrayal, for example, you actually have to complain.
Media Action member Sherry Graydon says a complaint she made led to a mascara advertisement being discontinued.
I think every ad for beauty products that feature an airbrush in it using the amazing technology that I've been showed up falls into the same category.
ASC determined eyelash inserts were used to produce the ad, and therefore it was misleading. Graydon feels that the decision for the mascara ad should apply to all manipulation in advertisements for beauty products. If this became the standard, major change would be seen in the advertising industry and maybe in society's view of beauty. It's possible, but first Canadians have to step up in their role and get complaining. Andrew Hood, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
That's it for your entertainment buzz. Now back to Corrine with the wrap.
Thanks, Courtney. That's the news for now. You can hear more news coming up in about 15 minutes on the internet at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca. On behalf of all of us here at Observer Radio News, thanks for listening and have a great morning.